Welcome to the Renewables Talent Lab, the number one catalyst for advancing careers and building high-performance teams in the renewable sector. Sponsored by the Anthony Michael Group, helping companies secure in-demand talent across the continuum from concept through commercialization and beyond in areas like energy storage, electric vehicles, hydrogen, solar, wind, and more. Here's your co-hosts, Mitch Robbins and Adam Soppy.
All right, welcome back to another episode here on the Renewables Talent Lab. I am one of your co-hosts, Mitch Robbins, the founder and managing director here at the Anthony Michael Group, joined as always by Adam Soppy, principal talent advisor here at the firm. We are excited about today's show. We are speaking with Ms. Darcy Hill. Darcy comes to us with over 10 years of experience building an impressive resume as a leading agency recruiter turned internal talent acquisition leader. She currently serves as the Senior Director of Talent Acquisition for a company called Origis Energy. And for those unfamiliar, Origis is a company accelerating the transition to a carbon-free future by reimagining zero. Now, the company continues to deploy a wide range of sustainable solutions for grid and distributed power generation with long-term operations and asset management of plants across the U.S. So without further ado, Darcy, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks so much for having me today. It's a pleasure.
Well, we're grateful that you're here. We've got a lot to unpack, and a lot of it is really telling your story. We're joking offline. You know, agency recruiters sometimes say that talent acquisition is the dark side. Talent acquisition, of course, almost always says agency is the dark side, but I really want to start the show and understand your story. How did this happen? You were working as a headhunter, and now here you are, you know, the senior director of TA internally. What happened there?
Yeah, well, I would probably lead in by saying my personal opinion is that agency is the dark side, but I'll tell you why.
She wisened up. She got smart and moved over.
No. So I started doing agency recruiting. It was like late 2014, and it was really focused on oil and gas infrastructure. And many people in the space might well know that about 2014, 2015, that market really started to drop. So we kind of had to reposition ourselves and my team specifically started to go after power and energy infrastructure, which of course was inclusive of solar and renewables. So it's been since about 2015 that I've been recruiting in renewable energy, really developed a love and a passion for the industry and the space. I think it's just super fascinating. For one, it's ever evolving. It's growing rapidly. There's exciting news in the space each and every day. And of course, you know, the whole mission for the industry is just providing sustainable solutions for our planet, which is another space that I'm really excited and passionate about. So I will say, let's see, it was about, mid-2019. And, you know, of course, you're an agency recruiter and you're trying to pick up new business and new clients. And I happened across Origis Energy and successfully landed them as a client. And sometimes you guys know how it goes. You just kind of like fall into that, like, I didn't think that would work, but here we are. But it was a close partnership right off the bat, which was really neat. While I was an external recruiter, I really felt like I was part of the internal team already. Everybody was super collaborative, super communicative with me, and it just gave me like the warm fuzzies, you know? So then 2 years after I'd been working very closely with them, so about 2021, I was offered a position to join Origis and build out their official talent acquisition team. Given our existing like rapport and relationship, it was really a no-brainer for me. And I was thrilled to be an official member of the Origis team. So the reason, I guess, for me, and you know, we're all unique individuals, everybody's brain and heads and hearts work differently. But the reason why I consider agency to be a little bit more of the dark side is I really enjoyed it, but it's very transactional, right? It's a bit repetitive and you're kind of getting like a broad view of the market and like little snippets of a bunch of different companies, which I think has a ton of value. But for me, you know, I was a business major in college and I really wanted like, I was like yearning for more depth, I guess. I really wanted to like dive in a little bit deeper into one organization and find, I guess, the kicks and thrills with that. So for me personally, it was a necessary switch and I've loved every minute of the change from agency recruitment to internal recruitment.
That's awesome.
And what a huge compliment to you too. That's amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, I was very flattered.
What has been different, like noticed starkly different between your time as an agency recruiter versus leading TA internally?
Yeah. Well, I guess the nice part was, you know, knowing Origis so well externally, like the learning curve of having to figure out a new organization was kind of gone. I feel like I meshed in that sense very easily. The learning curve for me was really just kind of an understanding of the corporate landscape. You know, you come from sales for however long, and as long as I can remember, it's just kind of been sales, but kind of serving in that corporate world was very new and different. So that was my biggest fear or nerves going into the transition. I have to applaud my leader, Sean McAdams, just because he's fantastic and provided all of the support and guidance that I needed along the way. But, you know, I'm a very adaptable person, so it wasn't too bad. But that was like the biggest difference, I think, for me.
Mm-hmm. You know, the other thing we always joke about is in our world, if you don't like a situation and you're not able to make it better, you don't have to work in that situation. You go on and work and build a different client relationship. Internally, you're kind of like, well, I'm here when we got to work through these challenges regardless. So if I have a hiring manager who, no matter how many times I got to tell him that it's time to interview this candidate before we lose him and he doesn't, I've got to figure out how to help him, right? I think that's probably a big difference too. And it sounds like you're working obviously with an awesome team. Speaking of the team, you guys have gone through tremendous change in the last couple of years, like rapid growth. And I'd love to talk more about that, what you've experienced in the last couple of years as far as, one, this period of rapid growth and what that means as far as onboarding people as fast as you have.
Yeah.
But then two, when you go through such rapid change, you got to protect your culture too. And the culture, yes, adapts as the organization scales, but the fundamentals have to stay in place with what the leadership truly wants to stay in place, right? So we'd love to hear more about that story if you're willing.
Yes, absolutely. It's been a wild ride. So starting, of course, you know, with my external relationship with Origis, I think, you know, I helped them get to their 100th employee. So still very small, still very quaint and cute, very family-like and entrepreneurial. And I think, you know, now we're close to about 250 full-time employees. So talent acquisition has kept very busy. My first year there, about a year, maybe 9 months, it was really just kind of me and our talent engagement or HR kind of business partners really doing a lot of the interviewing, onboarding, hiring. So it was really robust, really high volume of work and candidates kind of going through all these various pipelines. But now the team, you know, we're sitting at about 5 recruiters. So that's helped immensely just in terms of that growth. But, you know, we're sitting right around 100 hires annually.
That's
which
amazing.
Is a lot.
Yeah.
But, you know, some of the other changes that I think we're going through just in terms of growth and organizational change, a big one being, you know, late 2021, we got acquired by a private equity firm called Anton Infrastructure Partners. And, you know, coming out of a large acquisition like that, especially when you have a workforce and employees that have been with an organization for years or maybe since its inception, sometimes that kind of triggers some fear or concern on, you know, what does this mean for me? Is this going to change who I am to the organization or vice versa? So I do think, you know, that acquisition kind of sparked a little bit of internal change and growing through that change. There's been a lot of, you know, focus on, okay, as an organization, we now have to really focus on establishing process and procedure and like repeatable, scalable things across the entire organization, of course, TA included, but that'll help us just kind of grow with ease. You mentioned protecting the culture, and I think that's a fabulous point because it is so important. What I love about Origis, and it kind of gets me like a little emotional because I think I just, in 2022, after the acquisition, Yves Vanderhagen, our president, founder, CEO, he took pause, right? And he, from his view, said, we need to relook at the culture of the organization. We need to look at the talent and the people and everybody that's gotten us up to this point thus far and just kind of relay our ground rules, relay our foundation so that we can keep that culture top of mind as we continue to grow at this rapid, rapid pace. So it was 2022 when we brought in culture consultants. They came in and workshopped and kind of surveyed, I don't know, 40%, 50% of the organization and really kind of distilled down some common themes. It was, you know, listening to stories from employees across the entire org. Name your favorite person, doesn't have to be a leader. name your favorite person and tell me just the traits that they possess. Or tell me about a story where you were faced with a challenge and you and the team kind of overcame it. Like, tell that story, right? And so they came up with these themes that I think really captured the essence of Origis. You know, you hear about like a 7-person team when Origis started, and it was all hands on deck at all times, just trying to like grow this company. And it's fascinating to reflect back on. So with all of that, you know, I think we reestablished core values. And I think, you know, the important piece to sort of mention about those core values, it was very important to Guy that they are currently reflected, you know, in Origis's DNA. They're not aspirational. They're who we are today, you know. So we reestablished core values. We enhanced the in-office work experience. We increased PTO. We established a lot of, you know, internal resource groups for employees just to kind of increase that internal support, help build community, build camaraderie. And then, you know, just I think with that, like a very natural thing that comes out of some of those resource groups is you get that added bonus of mentorship and learning and growth and development, which I think is really, really neat. And then there was also a very sincere shift towards, again, that establishing process and a huge digital transformation that took place. And all of that is really just to improve the day-to-day efficiencies, right? Which, of course, enhances the culture because you have people with better tools. They're better equipped to perform in their roles. Things are less manual. So I think all of those things combined have been a very sincere, motivated, top-down approach that's been well-received throughout the organization.
Dang, I have to jump in. I commend you because Mitch and I do these, you know, we do intake meetings with different companies all day, every day, and we kind of offline will roll our eyes. We hear culture 99% of the time, if not 100% of the time, and all the websites on every company in America is pretty similar in terms of core values. And I think for the most part, it's lip service. You guys really distilled down your true DNA yeah. of the company and took a granular approach. And it's not a sample size of 5% of the people. You're talking about almost half the company had a say in that. And that's amazing that you took a deep dive. And I think that's going to pay well or pay off, you know, for years moving forward. So that's very
agree.
Cool.
And, you know, again, just seeing the organization before and like the pre and the post cultural movement that we had, I think everybody just came out so energized, so invigorated. We continue to do these core value like workshops, especially when you're growing at the pace that we are. You've got new incomers on all teams all the time.
Sure.
And so you have to keep talking about those, and you have to keep people believing in those. It's a big part of our interview process as well.
Yeah.
You know, of course, an individual's core values has to kind of align with where they're working.
Right.
You just see greater success and retention rates that way.
And happiness, productivity, everything. Yeah.
This is great stuff. Let's talk about some of the trials and tribulations you've gone through too, because I think the audience will get a lot of value from that. Were you talent person number two, in essence, into the company, your boss, and then you?
Yes. There have been other HR folks. But I don't want to discount, they had a lot of involvement in talent acquisition. But, you know, aside from, well, there were two folks, and then me and one other gal started on the exact same day. She was talent engagement and I was talent acquisition.
Okay. Because part of the reason I ask is with that amount of growth and that amount of hires, they're used to doing it one way, right? Usually it's kind of a, lack of better term, cowboys and Indians situation where the hiring managers just kind of handle it themselves and they're doing their own thing, or maybe they're working with a recruiter, but there's not necessarily a homogenized process that early on in a business, more often than not. And now here you are coming in to try and build out the infrastructure. Can you talk a little bit about the change that occurred as you guys have scaled like this?
Yeah, definitely. So I think, again, I have to just kind of give a little shout out to Sean McAdams, my boss. He is a very organized and process-driven man in the best way possible. I think he had a lot of the hiring managers and talent acquisition process, you know, somewhat defined. And of course, with me working so closely with Origis externally, I knew that process very well, and I knew what to expect, and I knew what was next. And so that was all with relative ease. Coming in the door, I think it was maybe just a couple of months before I started that we brought in like an applicant tracking system. So it was really the first software or tool that the organization was utilizing to help with the talent acquisition flow. While I wasn't necessarily a part of that implementation internally, you know, certainly a lot of adoption, right? Once I joined, and Sean, bless him, like he's just so great. He's given me so much autonomy. We have a fantastic working relationship where he says that you own this now, you run with it. I trust you, go, which works very well. Like that's how I like to work with my senior leaders. But so it's worked out very well. He provides suggestions and guidance, but we've created this or implemented this tool, organized this tool, reorganized this tool, reorganized it again. You know, again, it's just you're constantly having to like find some resiliency, right? In just adapting to the growth levels and needs of the organization.
Mm-hmm. So they had implemented an applicant tracking system right before you came on board. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay. Has the hiring process changed over time since you've been there because of just the amount of volume going on? Like, have you guys, can you point to specific tweaks that you've made there or no?
I think it's more just, there's been some fine tuning, of course, but I think largely the process is the same, but it's really kind of documenting that process, right? And making it a little bit more concrete. We always have to stay nimble and flexible to adjust to, you know, your more complex hiring managers or those that have very busy schedules, and you're kind of like adapting to not being able to schedule interviews as quickly as you'd like, or we're not getting as many strong candidates as we like. You know, you have to make those adaptations. But I would say largely, like, the process is somewhat stayed the same. It's just really now embedding that into this applicant tracking system, whereas before it was kind of, you know, ad hoc and just over email. Now we've got a way to track all of the interviews, track all of the feedback from interviews, manage job opening approval workflows, manage job offer approval workflows. So that's helped a great deal.
Hopefully it's helped you internally, but also I bet it's helped the candidate process as well, especially as you're, you know, trying to hire 100 people a year. That's a big deal.
I'm glad you're actually bringing that up, Adam, because, you know, I think as agency recruiters, you get a different candidate perspective, right? When you're holding a candidate's hand through a job opportunity or job interview process, you hear probably a little bit more candid feelings from them on how the process is going. Yep. And so one of my big objectives, and something that I'm just a huge advocate for in general, is that candidate experience. It was very important to me that was huge initiative and very much like top of mind with my talent acquisition team. And I think the team has done a fantastic job. My entire team, actually, except for one person, also all come from agency recruitment. So they would also probably agree that that's the dark side. But we've launched.
No offense taken here, Darcy. We're good. We're okay.
Yes. We'll get some coffee, work out all the kinks. It'll be fine. I think, you know, we've launched candidate feedback surveys. So if somebody enters the interview realm or interview stage within our process, whether they make it or they don't, they'll receive a feedback survey. Because again, we want to keep that feedback loop open so that we know how we're doing as a talent acquisition team. And of course, that gets projected largely across the entire organization.
That's huge. Mitch and I always tell companies, like, hey, the folks that are interviewing, whether they get the job or not, they're PR. They're talking about your company either in a favorable light or a negative light. It's up to you to kind of control that. So yeah, it sounds like that's top of mind for org.
Yeah,
so good
on
you.
It's so important because we've all been candidates too, you know, and it's like interviewing can be scary,
right?
And it can be intimidating. It can be exciting, but like you're interviewing the company just as much as they're interviewing you. So you always have to put your best foot forward.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you look back over the last couple of years with all this change, is there anything that you can pinpoint that you would do differently and help somebody else with the trouble that you guys have gone through? Is there anything that stands out? Be like, man, if we knew what we knew now, we would have done XYZ differently.
Oh, that's a really great question. I think honestly, and I'm not saying that Origis has done poorly at this at all, but I do think that communication has been, it's very critical amidst a lot of growth and amidst a lot of change. I think that, you know, there could have been some opportunities to communicate more, but I also think that Guy and Origis has done a really nice job of having kind of our all hands or town halls for the entire organization to give updates updates on where the business is today, where it's going, what are the plans, what are the wins, what are the losses. And I just think, you know, for any organization, whether you're growing or not, I really feel like bringing everybody together, collecting everybody, getting them on the same page is just, it's critical.
Yeah, transparency is big. I agree.
Well, I tell you what, we really appreciate you being here and kind of sharing the story. What's next for Orgis? What are you guys excited about right now?
So much. So Reimagining Zero is something that just was recently launched. So we're still kind of on a high with all of that and riding the tails of what exactly Reimagining Zero looks like. So, you know, we've sort of gone through this rebranding. There's a ton of growth on the horizon, of course, with Anton being our capital partner. We're a well-funded organization, and we've got a lot of opportunity to just kind of continue to capture solar and battery storage market out there. Expanding into new regions, of course, the clean hydrogen team is really ramping up. And I don't know, I feel like the sky's the limit with Orgis. I'm so proud to be part of the team and part of the growth and part of their story.
Well, I tell you what, we've got a lot of respect for you. Otherwise, you wouldn't be on the show with us today. So kudos to you for everything that you've achieved in your own career and much more success to come. Exciting stuff in store with Orgis for sure. If it's okay with you, within the show notes, we'll put a link to your LinkedIn profile as well as a link to Orgis so that for those who are interested, they can feel free to reach out if that's okay with you.
Absolutely. I would love that. Would love to bring all of the unique clean energy talent to Orgis. And thank you so much for having me, inviting me on the show.
Absolutely. Adam, there was one other thing that I thought that you mentioned and I can't remember what it is.
Yeah, I think she's being humble, but there's some really cool initiatives with DE&I, but also it sounds like hiring military veterans, military personnel, ex-military, I should say, is top of mind for you. So that you're doing some really cool stuff.
Yeah, that has been a really fun project over the past year. We've partnered with a lot of different groups or agencies that kind of focus their candidate pipelines on the active military or veteran workforces. A lot of our like O&M staff, so your solar technicians, we've partnered with Airstream Renewables to kind of deploy workforce into the O&M space. And that's been a fantastic partnership. Some others that are, have a little bit more of a focus on like the corporate workforce, but it's been really fun learning more about how special that workforce is. It, especially when you're amidst a transition, just they require a little extra like TLC and support. And I think it's really a fun opportunity and a fun place to be able to help them through that and give them a great place to work that honors the service that they've provided to the country. So I'm very excited to see that just kind of continue to evolve and grow and maybe get a little bit more firm within the organization. It's been a lot of this, that on the side to some extent, but there we've seen so much momentum with it all that I think it's going to be a little bit more of an established program.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I had remembered it right at the end. I think it was so important to mention that because what you guys are doing on that front is huge.
Yeah.
And I think the folks that serve our country to have a gateway like this with opportunity is awesome. So kudos to you guys. Hopefully that continues to expand. But nonetheless, again, we want to thank you for your time. Thank you for the value that you add to the show.
Absolutely.
And to the audience.
Thank you so much. It was fantastic being here and look forward to more.
Thanks for listening to the Renewables Talent Lab podcast. For more content-rich episodes, log on to theanthonymichaelgroup.com or subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast platform.